We've got breaking news. Senate fails in its attempt to thwart the war in Iran.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo, taking your calls, as it said, at 1-800-684-3110. We are wrapping up our first week, getting there almost at least, to wrap up our first week of our Double Your Impact Drive. So I want you to be a part of that today. When there is breaking news, when there is work in the world of the ACLJ, we're going to make sure we cover it. We're going to be joined a little bit later with a big update from one of our attorneys on a case in Georgia. So stay tuned for that coming up. But I did want to address some breaking news, and that is the Senate on Wednesday rejected a deal. The Democrats put in a deal to, what would they essentially say, end the war, thwart the war, if you will, in Iran. And of course, Will, that failed.
That's right. So this was a resolution which would have said that the president can take no further action in Iran without an authorization from Congress. There's a similar vote happening in the House today. Last night's was in the Senate, which would say that the president directly would have to remove the United States armed forces from unauthorized hostilities in the Islamic Republic of Iran. The Senate version that went forward last night failed 47-53. So a no here is on the side of the president. And the 53 no's included all of the Republicans, except for one, plus John Fetterman. And then those that voted to advance this, which would have said that basically the war in Iran has to stop unless Congress approves it, was all of the Democrats minus Fetterman, but adding Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky. And we'll get into this and what it means, but some of the sound coming out from the Democrats is shocking. At a time when our armed forces are engaged in this, the way that they are describing the administration seems so very reckless,
right,
and unserious. If this is as serious as they say it is, the way that they are talking about the administration, I feel like puts our armed forces in more harm's way than if they were just to say, we don't believe this is the right action. We don't think this is the way we should go. But I've got a soundbite from Mark Kelly that I'll play you in the next segment, so stay tuned.
Yeah.
That will shock you that members of the Senate that are veterans would talk this way.
Yeah, I want to even read to you. This is one from Chuck Schumer. He said, today, every senator, every single one, will pick a side. Do you stand with the American people who are exhausted of forever wars in the Middle East, or stand with Donald Trump and Pete Hegseth as they bumble us headfirst into another war? So again, that is coming from Chuck Schumer. And it does feel pretty strange after we know the what was a bumbled and fumbled exit from Afghanistan that was led by their own president and their own party.
Once again, what we have seen is precision, accuracy, effectiveness from the administration, from the military. And you've got to hand it to our men and women in the armed forces of the United States and the commanders and the Secretary of War. They are executing this action in Iran with efficiency, precision, and skill and strength that the United States has not shown in a very long time. So you can say you don't agree with it or you think that the president doesn't have the right to, even though I think history bears this out that he does. But to say that Donald Trump and Pete Hegseth are bumbling us head first is a slap in the face to our military, right, that is engaged in this conflict right now.
Look, I want you to take a minute here because we are in our Double Your Impact Drive. And I have to talk about this because, look, there's special months throughout the year where your donations are doubled. They're matched by other donors who are ready to unlock their match. When many think of the ACLJ, they may think of our huge, big cases or giant clients, but our efforts extend far beyond those big cases into advocacy across the country. We take on cases defending individuals against lawfare, as well as we're taking on large federal cases always, and shaping constitutional fights. The ACLJ is involved on every level, from the individual all the way up to representing even presidents of the United States or world leaders when needed. You'll get the same legal help if you ever need it. But that's only because you support the work. So go to aclj.org or scan that QR code you see on the screen. Every donation made will be doubled and it's tax deductible. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Secular. We do have some phone lines open for you at 1-800-684-3110. For those that are just joining us, yes, the Senate has rejected a Democrat-led Iran War Powers Resolution that called for congressional approval for military action against Iran, effectively thwarting and ending the war in Iran. But that is not what happened. The procedural vote, I'll read it to you, which directed removal of United States Armed Forces, has not been authorized by Congress, and it failed by a vote of 47-53.
That's right. So the 47 that voted in favor of this, which would have said effectively the president can do no more operations, no more bombings, nothing in Iran unless he comes and gets approval from Congress. The 47 senators voted yes on that. All the Democrats except for John Fetterman, and they added Rand Paul, which is ideologically consistent from him. Then you have on the other side, those that voted against it, every Republican plus John Fetterman. So one Republican and one Democrat switch places on this vote, but it did fail in the Senate. A similar measure is expected to be put forward in the House today. That is co-sponsored by Ro Khanna of California, as well as Thomas Massie of Kentucky. That is the continuing resolution 38, and this is directed at the president pursuant action a section 5C of the War Powers Resolution to remove United States Armed Forces from unauthorized hostilities in the Islamic Republic of Iran, doing effectively the same thing. It is expected to fail there as well. But what you're seeing now is this partisan split on this action that is reaching a new level. It used to be that when the United States engaged in military conflict, there may have been differences in policy, in outcome, and even loud vocal voices saying the president, what they're doing is wrong. But the diminishing language, I think, is what is new here. The way that you are hearing Democrats talk about the administration, and I think it is damaging, one, to the reputation of the United States, to those men and women in uniform that are fighting currently, because you have statements like this. This is from Senator Mark Kelly, a Democrat from Arizona. You may know him from his videos telling people to not obey what they say is illegal orders. That was the whole big issue with him earlier in this administration. But let's go ahead and hear what he had to say on with Jen Psaki, so former alumni of the Obama White House. And it's shocking when you hear it, so I need you to listen. This is Bite 7.
You could pick a random group of people off the street tonight here in Washington, D.C., just a random group, and they could probably do a better job than our government is doing right now with this. They don't have a goal. There's no strategic plan. There's no timeline. And what this is likely to lead to is, again, a long war with a lot of dead Americans and no rationale for how this is helping the American people.
Logan, when you hear that from a veteran himself, an astronaut, a sitting U.S. senator, that he is belittling the planning of the military as well, because it's not as if Donald Trump himself is sitting there drawing up war plans. That's not how it works. He knows that. And not that Pete Hegseth is the only other person involved in these decision-making processes. When you hear him say that you could pick a random group of people off the street of D.C. here tonight and they would do a better job than the U.S. is doing. Right. One, the United States and Pete Hegseth, the president, Marco Rubio, have been very transparent. Then they also have been showing the outcome, effective outcomes. The loss from one strike, one missile that got through is tragic. But that is war. As well as it is not this mass chaos where all of our bases are burning in the Middle East and our ships are being sunk, like people like Mark Kelly warned us would happen if this went forward.
When you hear Mark Kelly, I mean, you hear the stank of politics on it. I mean, really is what it is. I mean, it's just politics 101. You don't hear someone who's actually coming out from, by the way, respect his service. he probably would have a lot to share. But instead, politics has infiltrated him. Maybe he's another one that thinks that 2028 could be a good political run for him, because you see that on him. You see the tone that's coming out of him. It is a tone of politics. It's not a tone of war. It is not a tone of a conversation that actually could lead to betterment of our military. Now, time will tell whether this war or this military conflict was worth it. When any human life is lost, of course, you're going to weigh what the worth was of it. And what I'm hoping is that President Trump and Pete Hegseth, who I've very much thought that Pete Hegseth has had done a good job over the last few weeks, I hope that what we're going to see is they do have this plan and they do have this strategy. And all signs would point to that they do. I think that would be different. If we were months into this, and I think even John Fetterman kind of mentioned that, like we're 36 hours, 48 hours, 72 hours into this war, really, into this conflict, that it would be a little different if we're talking about a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, we're still in it. Now, look, it is apparently, you know, America has that issue. We know that it is a problem that we've had many times before. So it's not an unwarranted question. But when you come at it from a place that feels so political and not military, not from his expertise, I would love to hear from a non-political Mark Kelly at this moment. I would love to hear from non-political from all sides of the military world. But sadly, when you go on one of these programs, that's not what they want, and that's certainly not what he wanted to express. He wanted to express a political position, not a strategic military position.
That's right. And once again, I would respect their position if it came across as a statesman. If it was a statesman Democrat that said, I ideologically disagree with this. I do not think the president should be leading us down this road. I am concerned about the cost on American lives. I can respect that position. What I cannot respect is them acting not like statesmen, saying that they are bumbling their way through this. If you talk to any global war on terror veteran right now, maybe not any, but if you talk to, I would say, a vast majority, about would they rather have the early days of Iraq and Afghanistan executed how it was with the leadership that was then there, even through the Obama years, or would you rather have it executed like it is happening now? I think you would get an overwhelming response of the way that the president and the leadership in the military and the Secretary of War and the National Security Advisor, Marco Rubio, are executing this action against Iran is how the military should operate. Right. This is efficient. This is a plan. This isn't them trying to use academics and all this other theory involved. This is getting back to the basics of lethality in the military, and it's working. The fact that we are even using more conventional methods and we're not fighting an insurgency like we were fighting in Afghanistan and Iraq, it makes it such a different war. And having our leaders use words and phrases like they're bumbling through this, or anybody on the street in DC could do a better job, is disrespectful to our men and women in military. Have a high level policy discussion.
That's
about
what I'm saying.
This.
It feels just like a political stump speech. It doesn't feel like there's actually any weight there. I want to take this call real quick. Let's go to Bill in Wyoming. Bill, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Look, I'm very upset about what's been going on there in the Congress. But I got to say, speaking as a vet, that as far as I'm concerned, if the Democrats would have got past their resolution, this would have exactly extended what's been going on in Iran instead of ended it quickly. Period.
Well, what they were trying to do is basically say it's got to end now. And so then they would have to come back, and then maybe Congress could have gotten forward and gotten a longer resolution out. But Bill, also, I think that's dangerous to our men and women in uniform too. If they today said, you can't do another thing, you can't do any more of this, it's over, even though we have all the assets there that then could be sitting ducks. Obviously, I think that they can engage defensively, but I think that puts our men and women in uniform in more harm's way. if they no roadmap, no off-ramp, as they like to talk about, what's the off-ramp in Iran? If your off-ramp is a vote in the House and Senate that says, you stop right now, don't shoot another missile against Iran until we tell you you can shoot another missile, I think that puts America's troops in more of a harm's way. So it's ridiculous when you hear Senator Kelly talking like this and not going and having a real discussion and debate with the administration, but going on MS Now with Jen Psaki and trying to say that anyone of the people in D.C. who probably believe, because all of the elites that are around that studio probably do believe they could do a better job, because that's the swamp for you. But it is just ridiculous.
Phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110. We get back, you're going to have a big update in the world of the ACLJ. One of our attorneys, Liam, is going to be joining us. This is a case out of Georgia, but it impacts everybody, so you want to make sure you stay tuned for that. But we're going to continue this discussion and get the conversation going. That is at 1-800-684-3110. So if you are watching right now, if you're watching on YouTube or Rumble or however it may be, I encourage you to call in as well at 1-800-684-3110. Take your calls on this topic and kind of everything in sort of the broad region of this topic. So 1-800-684-3110. Welcome back to Seculo. I always want to make sure, at least once a show, I give you a big update on any of the things happening in the world of the ACLJ. And look, sometimes these cases, they may seem individually on a small scale, but you got to understand that the big impact, worldwide impact or country impact, or even statewide impact, that it can happen. And make sure that what I also wanted to do is refresh you to know that if you're dealing with something similar, that you can always reach out to the ACLJ. We have attorneys on standby ready to talk with you. And they we'll get you all set up. And again, that is at no cost to you, because people donate, especially during these months, like the Double Your Impact Drive that's happening right now. Because of people like you that support the work, we are able to offer all of our legal clients at no cost. So understand that. Because of your support, people like this current client we're about to discuss are able to have a top-tier legal team. Now, Liam is joining us from our offices in Washington, D.C. Liam's one of our attorneys here at the ACLJ. I wanted you to just first let's set up what this situation is out of the state of Georgia.
Absolutely. I mean, some of our listeners might remember Jason. He is a passionate evangelist who works near an abortion clinic. He is passionate about life and offering these mothers who are going there other options. Unfortunately, what happened is that the city of Forest Park, Georgia, essentially put a heckler's veto into the permit. What I mean by that is there was text on the permit that said, if anyone complains about this permit, it's revoked. Well, of course, the abortion clinic complained, and so they tried to cite him for these ordinances. They tried to hold him criminally liable, and the ACLJ stepped in right away to make sure that that didn't happen.
Yeah, so of course, that is when the ACLJ team gets involved. Now, the case took an interesting turn. Will, I know you know sort of more of the facts as well. Took an interesting turn, but there is a bigger side to this that means, though, I'm going to claim it here, it's definitely at least partial victory. We know we have to keep fighting.
That's right. And so, Liam, what the absurdity of the matter that you can get a permit, but then if anyone is concerned about what you got the permit approved for, you could end up being arrested. I mean... the absurdity of that on its face is not lost on us, but there was a hearing yesterday because he was arrested, was being charged, and you had to go to court yesterday. Tell us what happened as we were able to get a victory in that, but also what comes next.
Absolutely. What happened was simple. We were there ready for trial, ready to hit them with these motions that we had filed. That's what the ACLJ does. And at the last minute, and we see this pattern a lot, you know, the process is the punishment. They know they can't win at trial. At the last minute, they decided to dismiss the case without prejudice. They told us that, hey, great motions, but we're not going to hear them today. Your client can go home. Now, that's a victory. I don't want to belittle that. You know, our client got to go home and face no criminal liability. But we knew that wasn't okay. This insidious sentence that says these permits can be revoked at any time is still on their permits. So we said, absolutely not. You're not going to be able to steal our victory away from us. So we're talking with Jason right now, and we're planning a federal lawsuit. We want to see the city in court, and we want to make it plain as day. That's not what the First Amendment is. These pro-life advocates have a right to be out there. They have a right to be heard. And, you know, I think we've got a lot of ACLJ attorneys working on this to make sure that not only his win yesterday doesn't happen again, but anyone else who wants to be passionate about their pro-life views on the streets of Georgia has that opportunity.
Well, I think, one, it's a testament to the hard work of our attorneys like yourself and all of your colleagues that put in the time, show up, do the work to defend our clients at no cost to them. Someone who just wants to stand up for life under the threat of an arrest, it's great. We got a victory for our client. The state and city clearly was not prepared to even defend what they know, I assume know, is a heckler's veto here. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that that threat goes away. We get a victory for the individual now, but we have to push back and get real justice for everyone in Georgia, of all places, that the First Amendment can be taken away by a heckler's veto. And we have to push back at no cost to the client so that we can get real justice and a real victory here that's lasting for people.
I think that's right,
absolutely.
Will.
Absolutely. Let me tell you something.
Liam, I thought we had a connection difficulty. Go ahead.
No, what I want to tell you is, let me tell you something about Jason. He is a full-time evangelist. This is his day job, right? This is what he goes out and does. So, you know, if he were to go to a traditional law firm, that's just not an option. He couldn't afford that. The heroes of this story are the ACLJ champions who are making sure that people like Jason have a top-notch legal team. When I think of the hours that me and all the other attorneys have put in on this case, and we're about to for a federal lawsuit, you know, I can't help but thank all those people who make this possible for people like him.
Yep, and that is absolutely right. And that is why we have these special months. And look, you hear about this at the ACLJ. This is just one of many that we are working on all the time. You've heard from Liam. You'll hear from some of our other attorneys from time to time, continually. There are new cases, new intake cases coming in every day. And maybe you have dealt with a situation like this, or you feel like you may be dealing with one in the future. I encourage you to go to ACLJ.org, look around, look at our legal help section. Make sure you know your rights. Make sure you know what you can and can't do, or make sure that you, if you need a lawyer, that we're here for you. All you have to do is go to the ACLJ site, click and get help, and you will be immediately attached to a lawyer and the conversation begins. It doesn't go to a big call center, doesn't go, you know, it gets dispatched directly through the website. And as long as it's within our scope, we'll give you our options, you'll start the discussion. But again, all of that happens at no cost to our client. But people like this in Georgia who simply want to demonstrate their pro-life beliefs, but are told they can't. And again, as Liam said, likely would not have the financial resources to go hire a big top-notch legal team like we have at the ACLJ. But because people like you are ready and waiting, and you're there and you are supporting the work, whether that is monthly as an ACLJ champion or whether that is a one-time donation, right now it does not matter. We really appreciate the support because we are in these very crucial times, and there are crucial moments throughout the year. Only, you know, a few times a year do we get to offer these sort of double-matched, you know, impact moments. And this is the Double Your Impact Drive. It's a new one that we just launched because it will double your impact. If you give any level, someone is ready to unlock their donation. You know, they've pledged and they are ready. So if there's someone that's out there ready to give $50, essentially that becomes $100 of effective financials for the ACLJ, for our legal team, for our media team, and of course, to cover the cost that would be for the clients. All of that happens because people like you support the work of the ACLJ during these months. And it's a very special time as we head to our second half hour. I want you to go to ACLJ.org or scan the QR code you see on the screen. All donations are made. You want to read more about the Double Your Impact Drive? You can go directly to ACLJ.org/impact. Because the work that we're doing here, it cannot be just even summarized in a one segment of a terrestrial radio or of satellite radio or of a podcast. It is so broad in our scope. The amount of work that goes on with these teams, I know you can't see it specifically. You can't see every lawyer. You can't see every case that we're working on all the time. But understand that it is at a level that is hard to comprehend. People that are working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, through the holidays to make sure our clients are taken care of. With that, we have a second half hour coming up on the broadcast. If you're watching online, which I know a lot of you are, Sam News Channel, YouTube, Rumble, ACLJ.org, stay here. We'll be back in less than a minute. If you're listening on terrestrial radio, some of your networks don't carry it. If they don't, just find us on all those other outlets. It's free. You can do it at ACLJ.org. If you're hearing this later on one of those terrestrial radio options, The show's available on demand always on our through however you get your podcasts, YouTube, Rumble, ACLJ.org. We're there. Just search for ACLJ or Seculo. It'll pop right up. And with that, again, I'm going to ask you one more time. ACLJ.org, double your impact today. We'll be back in less than a minute. Really short break.
Keeping you informed and engaged now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. This is our second half hour. I did want to reset just a little bit off the top so you understand what we're talking about. We just got done speaking with one of our great ACLJ attorneys, Liam, about a case out of Georgia. But now we got to hit back to sort of the breaking news item. And that is that the Senate tried their best to thwart this, what is probably going to end up being a world-changing military engagement going on in Iran, where you have a potential change in leadership and a potential, you know, at least plan for some kind of at least betterness, if not freedom, for the people in Iran. Now, of course, it doesn't come without being war. War is never fun. War comes with casualties. It comes with a lot of burdens that you're going to have to deal with. It's not fun. I'm not pretending it is. But the Senate, who has been up in arms and have been using things saying like the, what is the act, the military engagement, like that said that they said
War Powers Act.
Yeah. President Trump couldn't do this. And of course, that became the talking point, the political talking point, by the way, for the first few days of this war. But even people like John Fetterman come out and go, well, that's not really the case. We know that's not how this works. Here's when Obama used it. Here's when all these other people used it. This is nothing new. They're going to make you seem like it's new. They're going to make it seem like President Trump is breaking the law and the Trump administration is doing it. But when you actually do a little digging, it's just to give you, the viewer, not necessarily of our show, but of other shows, one line that they could throw out there. So the vote came in, and of course, Will, it failed.
That's right. So it failed 47 to 53, 53 no's on this resolution, which would have told the president, you have to stop this right now until you get approval from Congress. John Fetterman voted with the Republicans. Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky voted with the Democrats on this. But you're also hearing this language, whether it be from Chuck Schumer, who said Donald Trump and Pete Hegseth as they bumble headfirst into another war. You have people like Tim Kaine, who was actually the one who released this, sponsored this resolution, called it a Trump's illegal war with Iran. We have the soundbite from Senator Kelly, who said that you could pick up a random group of people off the street here tonight in D.C., and they could do a better job than our government is doing right now. Here's the question I have for Senator Kelly, because we know that he voted along with Senator Kaine's resolution. Does he believe his colleague, Senator Kaine, that this is an illegal war with Iran? Because he's the one that told everyone that the military doesn't have to follow illegal orders. Yeah. Does he truly believe it's illegal? Do the Democrats truly believe it's illegal? If so, how would they feel if the men and women in uniform decided to not follow the orders during this? Would they stand up for that? No, because as you said, Logan, it is all politics.
Yeah.
They can use words like illegal and demean the administration and the leadership of the military and say they're bumbling through this and random people in the street could do better. In the meantime, they are actually the ones putting the men and women in uniform in harm's way with this type of rhetoric.
It's one of the reasons that we at the ACLJ are actually right now in a legal battle with CNN. You know, because they are able to continually, especially with public figures, whatever it may be, and this is not necessarily directly connected, but it is adjacent. Because the broad power of journalism, which I think should have a very broad freedom of journalism, for some reason still doesn't respect creating a lie and repeating that lie over and over and over again, if it's about a public figure. Even if it's proven to be incorrect, even if it's proven to be a lie, there's very little the American people can do about it. And specifically those that are in the public world, which again has broadened so significantly in the world of social media, that has changed pretty much everyone is a public figure in some way. We're going to take more calls about this. We got three lines open, 1-800-684-3110. Tim, stay on hold. Kathy, stay on hold. Linda, stay on hold. We're going to get to you. We're going to take some more calls. We're going to keep this conversation also about Senator Kelly, those thoughts. So, Tim, you're probably going to be up first, so stay tuned. Keep a watch on it. We have a really great back half hour to really discuss all of this. including the first war, the first military engagement, that now we have to deal with the realities of artificial intelligence and the spread of the information created by such. We'll be right back. Let's get that conversation going. 1-800-684-3110. Welcome back to Seculo. Phone lines are continually to be open for you. Right now, though, they are jammed, but they'll open up because we're going to take some calls. One of the conversation pieces we were having was about Senator Kelly's response to this war, and really taking a moment to not really give us a deep dive when someone has such military experience as he does, and I don't discredit that at all. But in a moment, on MS Now, decided to make it just political and started to use, you know, just regular terminology to really belittle this, call it illegal, do the things that he want to do, say that anyone on the streets would be better than the current leadership. Again, all that tells me is that you are looking for your own political future, and maybe you are searching for a presidency, maybe you're searching for a re-election, that you do not care about actually having real, deep, interesting conversations, which we'd be happy to have with someone like you, who, of course, we can respect your military service and also have disagreements with. The difference is, that's not where he decided to go. And maybe we need to play that one more time from Senator Kelly. Do we have that?
Bite 7.
All right.
You could pick a random group of people off the street tonight here in Washington, D.C., just a random group, and they could probably do a better job than our government is doing right now with this. They don't have a goal, there's no strategic plan, there's no timeline. And what this is likely to lead to is, again, a long war with a lot of dead Americans and no rationale for how this is helping the American people.
I know that this isn't necessary, but here's how you can demonstrate how that statement is false. Because those random groups of people on the streets of D.C. are probably the people who were making those decisions under the Biden administration, under the Obama administration, the people who don't work for the White House or don't work for the Department of War anymore because they are no longer employed because the administrations have changed. But when you saw the way that the military was misused over the past decades, really, under presidents like President Obama, with these tepid engagements, with actually no real end game, with red lines that are allowed to be crossed, and then no real strength behind the words of the commander in chief of the United States military. That is what got the United States in such trouble with people that want to destroy the United States for a very long time. It is the way that the military had been run by the generals, by the leaders, not listening to people that actually were in country, that were fighting their wars. I think that is why you can prove that statement is so false. And the tone deafness of being able to say that is just absurd to me.
I want to take a call about that. Let's go to Tim in Florida. Tim, you are up.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
No problem. Go ahead.
I want to comment. I think Senator Kelly should be ashamed of himself for the comments he's making. Being a former military veteran myself, I spent 6 years in the U.S. Air Force. I always knew that the first rule of engagement was to know your enemy. This group of radical Islam clerics basically are not going to give up. They're always going to be trying to gain their weaponry to kill the big Satan and the little Satan, which is the United States and Israel. And if their nuclear facility was for peaceful purposes, why was it underground? Doesn't make a lot of sense. But most people don't know that. All they see is what they see on the Cartoon Network, ABC, NBC, and those type of stations. So that's it. Thank you for taking my call.
Tim, I'll go even one step further. If their nuclear program was for purely peaceful purposes, they have nuclear power plants in Iran for energy for their people. Why was not a single bit of their uranium that they enriched used in any of their power plants? They had these nuclear power plants. They got the nuclear material from Russia. They bought it. They would buy that. They had a whole program where they got that material. Nothing that they produced in their own country was used for either energy, for medical research, for medical isotopes. Never had they used anything that they were producing, that they were spending so much money and time in building bunkers, as you say, way underground to do this peaceful nuclear program. They never used it for any of those purposes. So yes, we know that they were liars. It was a nuclear weapon program. I would like to hear the Democrats try to push back on that. They don't, because they just say illegal war, bad, cannot do this, bumbling through this. It also shows you they have nothing to argue.
But of course you turn to the people who this actually affects, which are the people in Iran, the Persian people in America who suffered under this regime and escaped. And I want to take a call from Don in California about that. We will open up some phone lines now that we've taken a few calls. So continue to call in at 1-800-684-3110. I want to hear from you. Don, go ahead.
Oh, thanks, fellas. God bless you. You know, I'm here in L.A. where I only partially jokingly say we're the new unofficial capital of Iran until a new government gets in. We have a huge Persian population that's dancing in the streets with joy now, and it's so good for me to see. But I think we have we did it in World War II. You know, when the Nazis overran free countries, their governments fled here, and we recognized governments in exile. I think we have the makings right here, maybe in L.A., certainly in the USA, of we should recognize a provisional government in exile that would be an interim government. That because, as I mentioned to your great screener, we're not going to get a Delcy Rodriguez in Iran, no way. And, you know, these guys are hardcore fanatics. They're going down with the ship. So I think we should organize a government in exile that's recognized as a transitional government that we can put in place once this regime falls or is crushed, and that it can oversee the transition to the Iranian people building up their institutions for a to determine their own destiny. And plus, we need to arm the Iranian people at some point. Who wills the end must will the means. You know, they can't fight with their fingers much longer. So I just want to see what you guys think about that.
Yeah, Don, I think one of the problems with forming a provisional government, at least at this point, I think something like that probably will happen, is that there are several different groups in exile that consider themselves the ones that will go in, and they kind of fight amongst themselves. They've had a long enough time to debate it outside of Iran that they kind of have their own issues. But I feel like for the betterment of their country, they should all come together and maybe create a council of some sort. Yes, I think that you could see something like that happen. This is, once again, not even been a week. So it's still very early for something like that. Another thing to your other point of the arming the people of Iran, the reports are is that the Kurds are armed. We know about the Peshmerga and many other militias that have fought alongside us in the war against ISIS. They are very formidable, and that they are potentially going to have some sort of ground incursion. That wouldn't be a United States military incursion. But and then what could you see maybe come out of this? A Kurdish state, something that they have been fighting for because they have been persecuted by the Iraqis, by the Turks, by the Iranians for a very long time, that they could be like, yeah, we're going to topple this because now we're going to carve out our own Kurdistan.
Yeah, I want to go ahead. Thank you, Don, for calling. I want to go ahead and try to get one more call so we can open up some lines before we head into the final segment. Linda's calling in Texas. Linda, go ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Real quick here. You are right. Democrat Mark Kelly is not acting like a statesman. It is politics 101. The Democrats have no right to lecture President Trump. Democrats have bumbled on securing our borders, so let alone how dare they lecture on managing foreign policies. I would not trust Democrats as far as I can throw them. Obama and Iran appeasement politics brought us to this point in our history, and we cannot negotiate with terrorists. And yes, thank you, Rep. Fetterman. And that's all I have to say.
Yeah, Linda, maybe a statement that people were shocked to hear just a couple years ago, all the love and praise for Senator Fetterman for at least coming out as the one Democrat, one of the very few Democrats, that doesn't just fall in line with a radical party. And you could say that even maybe for Republicans as well. Someone who actually thinks for himself and is rational about these decisions and understands his people as well. And that the people in Pennsylvania, even those that vote Democrat, do not align with sort of the insanity that has come out of a lot of the positions of this radical wing of Democrats. He's more a true Democrat, one that you could get along with and speak to and have a conversation with about these hot issues. Certainly there are things you're going to very much disagree with him on. But he is not without merit to actually think about his own people. I think that's something that a lot of the Senate and Congress need to really get back to thinking about, which is you represent these people in your district or your area. What do they really think? Sure, you're the leadership. Sure, they voted for you. But you still are representing a specific area of the country. And sure, you're probably going to have a different group heading out of Northern California or out of Portland, Oregon, than you maybe are going to have in Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, in areas, again, that may vote blue, even Boston, some of these, where the areas are maybe they're very union, but they're not necessarily just insane in terms of the radicalization they have overcome. We got phone lines open at 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back with more. Last segment of the day coming up on Seculo. Welcome back to Seculo. Phone lines are completely open right now. Not completely open. Two lines are open. But there are two lines that are open. Completely open. Sound like we got no calls. We got so many calls. Too many calls, really. We're going to do our best to get to as many of you as we can. Some of these I understand. Some of them I don't understand. But you know what? That's the beauty of a live call-in show. Sometimes I'm not sure what the call screener is trying to tell me. I'm not sure what you're trying to tell me. But I'm going to give you your voice, even though. Let's start off with one of those. I think I understand. But let's go to Kathy in Texas on line one.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks again for taking my call. I know a lot of the people that are born in the 2000s and stuff don't really know this or understand. We have been over there since 1988, 89. Field teams were there before Desert Shield, then Desert Storm, then Iraqi Freedom. 37 years is a long time to occupy a country. And they didn't even say we were at war. The money changes when we're at war. The Eagle's faces arrows, not the other way. And they never change the money. Are they actually saying we're going to go to war, or is it just a police action?
Not sure I completely follow, but as of right now, they're not talking about declaring a
war
in the traditional sense, like what would have happened in World War II. But as of right now, it's a defensive action or offensive action to take out their capabilities. And so that's where we're at.
Okay.
But we'll move on.
Yeah, Kathy, I appreciate your call.
Thanks for calling.
That's why I said I'm going to let people call, even people I'm not really sure I fully follow, but I appreciate it. Speaking of one, it's not that I don't follow this person. I would just like, let's let him talk for a minute. Chuck, line four. Chuck, go ahead.
How's it going, guys? Good early afternoon. Appreciate your show. Here's my commentary and even my question. What I'm concerned about is that we have three branches of government. Is our legislative, our judicial, and our executive. And for whatever reason, it appears that we're abandoning, for whatever reason, the oversight or at least the checks and balances that each of those bring to the administration. And when I look at what's happening now, it's like we don't give any pushback and we just like give a green light, say, okay, we're in war, this is what we're going to do. And everybody's just complicit. Nobody really steps up and says, what is the legislative branch for? What is the judicial branch for? When it comes to deciding if we're going to go into war, taking into consideration, some of us got loved ones that's in the military, that if they go to war, what does that mean for them? And we're already chalking it up. We're going to have loss of life.
You know what, Chuck? I actually appreciate your call, and I think that is more nuanced than I think we even got to the phone screener. I was expecting something very different. I was expecting sort of an angry message of saying, you know, we got to hold, what are we going to do to hold the president accountable? Well, I was like, well, there are elections, and elections have consequences. Sometimes you're going to like that, sometimes you're not. But you're actually asking a much broader and a much different question.
That's right. And Chuck, I mean, the legislature did hold a vote yesterday, and the House is going to hold a vote today, trying to limit this action.
The representatives can only go so far.
Here's also part of the issue. One, yes, I think Congress as a whole is in a tough spot, and they have been for a long time, not just this Congress. A lot of stalemate in the legislative body is affecting the country negatively in many ways. But I would say to this, the War Powers Resolution that was passed in 1973 during the Vietnam War is kind of what guides a lot of this at this point. That was passed by the legislature. And it was trying to put more of a check on the president to limit to 60 days what kind of unilateral action that the Constitution gives the president as the commander-in-chief the control over the military. What kind of actions they can take on their own without going to Congress for a declaration of war. Declarations of war are rare at this point. The last time was, I believe, World War II, where and how many wars have we had that were not wars that were declared? So I think that is a discussion that people in this country can have. And that's part of the issue I have with someone like Senator Paul, who I know where his ideology lands. But when he and he can even vote to not extend it or to pull sure. that is one thing. But it's when individuals that say this is an illegal war. No, this is where it's at. And if you were even to change maybe even how the War Powers Resolution works, it may not be constitutional based off of the control the president has over the military. So
yeah,
I understand the frustration, Chuck, but I think this is in part because of what the legislature has put forward.
Yeah,
it's how it's
handled. Chuck, I appreciate it. I want to take a couple more calls if we can. Let's quickly jump. Marion, you're called in. You're a champion. I'm going to let you go. Quickly, though, you're on the air.
Okay, I'll do it quickly. I'm getting sick and tired of the way that they're always blaming Trump for everything. And I remember that when Hillary Clinton and Obama had that situation at Benghazi, they told the people to stand down. And they, for hours, a lot of our soldiers got killed. And then Obama in the morning was going to go to a fundraiser in Las Vegas. And then Afghanistan, Biden and Harris told the soldiers to get out first, and then the civilians, which resulted in a lot of deaths of our people, plus all the equipment that we lost there. So I don't know how they have any right to even complain about anything that Trump's doing, and that's it.
Agreed, Marion. It's like I said, it's political. It's political coming from Mark Kelly. It's political coming from a lot of the people. It doesn't matter. It's just if you're on the other side, and look, I can say Republicans are just as to blame for this.
Well, and to that point, Marion, yeah. Very quickly, here's what's different now. It used to be foreign policy issues, individual issues that the parties disagreed on. This is a completely different foreign policy. It's going back to a way where America's strength means something. And if we're going to sanction you, if we're going to say all this, if we're going to put red lines, we're going to back it up with action if you don't go along.
All right, I'm going to try my best to take. We got two calls on 2 minutes. I don't know if we can get to both. Let's go to Anna in Georgia. Anna, go ahead.
Okay, I don't understand how Kelly's getting away with his contemptuous words. I mean, I served back 60 years ago, a long time ago, but the thing is, the Uniform Code of Military Justice was enforced very rigidly. And today, like you said, it's all political, but how does he get away with it? I mean, why is an Article 88 poured all over him.
I think the truth is, I don't know what's actually going on behind the scenes, I will say, but of course you're referring to what happened with ICE and in Minnesota and all of those situations, correct?
Well, and when he said, if you're given an order, it's illegal order, you don't have to do it, right?
You don't have to do it. Remember, you heard about that because it was in the news cycle. Now what happened to that story? It disappeared. That's why when we present this show, I always tell you, we think you can have a lot of different topics, we can have a lot of different discussions, because the news won't let you do it, and when it's no longer the top thing, you're going to have Mark Kelly on talking about something else. And he's not even going to refer back to that because that has nothing to do with what they're talking about now because it's all news cycle and it's all politics. We got 1 minute. Steve, you got like 20 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay. Real quick. First of all, I'm not in the military. All my family is all Navy veterans. None of them would want to work or serve with Mark Kelly. No respect for him. Respect his service. None of them would want to be in a foxhole with that dude. Period. Secondly,
okay.
People can talk about this is Israel. No. All of this boils down to anti-Semitism. The Democrats do not like Jews. They are totally fine with Iran continuing to destroy them. God bless Donald Trump. It's about time we did something. Since 1979, you guys have been messing with us.
Yeah. Steve, I'm only cutting you off because we are out of time, but I appreciate your calling in. I think a lot of people feel very similarly to you, and I appreciate all of you who called in with all of your calls and feedback and thoughts today. It took a lot of calls. I appreciate everyone who does that. We're headed towards the end of the week.
Happy with you.
Yeah, we're headed towards the end of the week. It is our Double Your Impact Drive. You've heard about the incredible work of the ACLJ. If you like this show, even if you're like, you know what, the legal work, it's for me, but it's not my favorite thing. My favorite thing's this show. Well, that make me, Will and I, happy. But we want you to support it, because that's how we're able to stay on the air, too, at absolutely no cost. That's at 1-800, not 1-800, that's at ACLJ.org. Double your impact today during your Double Your Impact Drive right now at ACLJ.org. Talk to you tomorrow.